to speak this morning on, on a message we all need to hear. I need to hear. We all need to hear. And it's a message on not giving up. It's a message on winning by him. And as PJ's already said, next weekend you're going to hear really how this church came into being and how we are where we are, you know, just where we've come from, where we are and where we're going. But I think one of the most important lessons we've learned along the way, it might surprise you to hear, is the lesson of don't quit. Just say to the person next to you, don't quit. If you want God's best, if you want God's best, you need to stick with him, follow him, and don't quit, don't stop. You'll have heard this many times, but for me, it's such a helpful example. We have to be like that salmon that swims upstream. The flow is going in the opposite direction. The flow of the world is downstream. There is resistance. But we have to set our will, just like that salmon does. I'm not going back. Yes. We have to set our will. We're going upstream. Interestingly, it's dead fish that float downstream, isn't it? And we're not dead. Oh, no. No, we're not. I'm going for God. And I'm comfortable about that. You've got to get to a place where you're comfortable about going in a different flow to the world. I'm comfortable to think different, to speak different, to act different. I'm okay with that. In fact, I'm confident in that. But praise God, we have a helper. We set our will, we make a right decision, but we have a helper on the inside, the power of the Holy Spirit, the life. If you think about that fish, the life in the fish sets its will, but there's an inner life that takes it, powers it upstream. We have an inner life, a God life, that will power us in the opposite direction. I'm going to speak a bit about Paul this morning, what a man of God he was. One day we'll meet him. Wow. I mean, wow to all the heroes of faith. Mostly, of course, our Commander-in-Chief, King Jesus. But won't it be amazing to meet some of the greats of Scripture? Paul's one of the one I want to meet. And he said these famous verses in Philippians 3. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended or to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, it's very important to forget. It's never helpful to try and do life looking in the rearview mirror. Forgetting those things that are behind, reaching forward to those things that are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It's an upward call. Every single one of us in this room have an upward call in God. And that sounds like a lot of effort to me. And frankly, it was. It was a lot of effort. But Paul received his strength and determination to go and keep going in the right direction by him. Colossians 1, verse 29. I love this verse so much. It says, to this end, this is Paul again speaking, to this end I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. So with every fiber of his being, he was strenuously contending for the will of God, but he was doing it with the energy that Christ supplied in him. Now, if any man other than Jesus had pressure to quit, it was Paul. The pressure that came against him was second to only Jesus. But he didn't give up. And I'm so glad he didn't. So glad. And I'm going to read you a partial list. And it really is only a partial list of some of the things he encountered. Are they ministers of Christ? He says, I speak of a fool as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 5 times. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, everyone was against him. In perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, it didn't matter where he went, there was peril, trouble. Couldn't get away from it. In perils in the sea, on dry land, he had perilously got to the sea, there was trouble. In perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, I bet, in sleeplessness, often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings, often, in cold and nakedness. And besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. And sometimes we want to quit on a cold. I mean, really? Really? Look. I could go so many places this morning. I've asked the Lord to keep me really on a straight track, his track. But anyway, it goes on in the next chapter. Apart from that, and he describes this person as a messenger of Satan who buffeted him. That means to strike continually. Somebody who was constantly on his case, accusing, judging, condemning, criticizing. But despite all this, he didn't quit. And God said something so important. You'll know these words well, I'm sure. He told him this in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. My grace is sufficient for you. Ha! Think of all the perils and trouble he'd gone through. My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is not made perfect in your strength. It's made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, well, I come to that bit in the moment. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Paul, this great apostle of the early church, he was a weak man. He felt weak. He was weak. Okay? This is what he's telling us here. But he lived by faith in the grace. He depended on the grace of God. He totally relied on the power of God on the inside, the energy on the inside that will motor him forward as long as he set himself to go in the right direction. Wow. And therefore, he didn't quit. And he goes on to say, not with a sigh and not with a poor me, but most gladly, I will boast in my infirmities or in my weaknesses that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He's saying, I've learned to tap into this. I've learned how to tap in to this grace. I've come to a place where my weakness doesn't move me. Oh, Lord, may that be, golly, the case for all of us. I've come to a place where my weakness, my things that other people will see are a disadvantage and a hindrance, those things won't move me. They won't stop me because I know when I'm weak in myself, I'm strong in God. I'm strong in God. Now, how do you deal with a man like that? He was the devil's worst nightmare. I'm sure when he woke in the morning, the devil was like, oh no, that one's awake again. Oh, may that be true for you and me. Oh, no, he's awake again. Oh, no, she's awake again. They're praying. They're believing. I'm firing my best shots, but nothing's stopping them. I'm firing the very best I've got and all my crew, but they're not moved. Come on, hallelujah. He was stoned. You can read about it in Acts 14. He was left for dead. His disciples are standing around him, looking at his bruised and battered and bloody body. Our leader's dead. Oh no, what do we do now? Paul gets up, shakes himself off, and you read about it. He goes back into the city. He goes straight back to where he left off. Now he, isn't it awesome? He must have believed what the prophet spoke all those years ago Isaiah 54, verse 17. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Come on. He went down, I'm sure, with something like that, one of these scriptures on his mind, in his heart, in his mouth. You're throwing your stones, and I might be down, but he will have believed this other. I love this verse so much in Micah. Micah verse, chapter 7, verse 8. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. Oh my gosh, when I fall, I will arise. Spirit of faith. I might be down, but I'm not staying down. You might have thrown your words and it might have knocked me off kilter. But I'm not staying down. I was thinking of those, I'm a child of the 70s and 80s. Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Anybody remember them? Come on, we might have a wobble. We're not going to fall down. Just had a rounded bottom, sprang back up again. You'd push it, spring back up. May that be us. Come on, I might get pushed, but I'm going to spring right back up again. Though I fall, I will arise. And then, you know, this, I sit in darkness. The word of God is a light. We know that verse well, many of us, don't we? Psalm 119. The word of the Lord is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. But it does more than natural light. Natural light will give you sight, and natural light will give you understanding. The word of God will do that. But it also has this supernatural dimension that lifts. It both brings sight and understanding, but it also brings a lift, a supernatural lift on the inside. And you might be in darkness at the moment. You might be not knowing what to do about a situation. But the Lord will be a light to you. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. Though I fall, I will arise. And I love, for me, it reminded me of these verses. I want us to say them together in Psalm 18, verses 28 and 29. Let's say this together. For you will light my lamp. The Lord, my God, will enlighten my darkness. For, come on. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God, I can leap over a wall. Yes, we can. By my God, I can. I walk around the house often saying this. By my God, I can, and by my God, I will. Oh, yes. Now, Pastor Judith is to me, she's so many things to me, but she so exemplifies to me how to do this Jesus life, how to live really each day by faith in him. And in 2022, when she had this cancer diagnosis, oh, it's such a knock. And those of you who have been through it, you understand it's more than a physical attack. It's an attack on the soul as well. But as soon as the word of the Lord came to her, and I know it's true for you, Sarah, you get that lift on the inside. You might have attacked my body and my soul, but though I fall, I will arise. And it's the spirit of faith. It's the spirit of faith. This is not a natural thing. And we were in Italy when the word of the Lord came to her, and it literally made the difference between night and day. She was praying in the kitchen because the people we stay with had gone out. And I knew, I go and pray in the bedroom, but I just leave her to it. And she came in, big smile on her face. I've got it. I've got the word of the Lord on this. And she shared it with me. And from that point on, the lift came. Nothing had changed in circumstances, but everything had changed in her and in us. And together with Sani, we just declared the end result. This will not happen. This will not take place. This shall be as a non-existent thing. Oh, yes. But she had the surgery and she had some exercises to do. And frankly, those exercises were very painful. 3 times a day for months, I think. She can't remember. But anyway, they were to get full movement restored to the arm. And she would wince with pain, and I'd be watching her doing it. And many times I would say to her, stop, give yourself a break. Leave it. She wouldn't stop. Quit's not in her. You know, it just isn't. And she would just keep on going. And very often, as she would be doing it, she'd be speaking the word. Speaking the word. Faith in God. You see, there's a his part, our part, isn't there? She was believing God, but we have a part to play very often. He rewards those who refuse to quit. Oh, come on. Isn't that good news? But it's not a grit determination humanly. It's only by him we can keep going. Hebrews 10, verse 35 to 36. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence. You'll be tempted to. We all are. We'll have plenty of opportunities to. But don't do it, because in it there's great reward. For you have need of endurance. So many of the things we face, we have need of endurance. So that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Now, we have need of endurance for two reasons that I know of. The first is unbelief. Personally in my own life, I have need of endurance because I've not yet come to faith on something, or I'm growing in faith on something, but I'm not there yet. And then the other one is, you know, unbelief, by the way, it's your unrenewed mind that's reasoning everything out and arguing against God. It's looking at everything on this level, reasoning it, and refusing to accept the word of the Lord. That's unbelief. The second reason we need to endure is we do have a real enemy, invisible but very real, who absolutely is against us and against the plan of God working out in our lives. Ephesians 6, verse 12 speaks about powers and principalities. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, real but invisible, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. The enemy wars against the plan of God for your life. He does not want you to fulfill it and cross the finish line. And so he will send negative thoughts that if you don't deal with them with the word will bring negative feelings. He'll send trouble to your circumstances. And look, I know this isn't the message this morning, but the Lord was speaking to me about reason. If he can keep us in the realm of reason, he will beat us every time. That's his playground. The realm of reason. But if we stand against him in the realm of faith, oh, we beat him every time. Oh, yes, by our God we will and by our God we can. But we have to receive faith. And I think so often even that can become a battle. And you can think you haven't got faith. And you just have to sit calmly with the word and not panic about it. You know, I think it's very good to be honest at times and say, do you know what? I don't have faith for this, but I know where I can get it. Yes. And I know the one who has a never-ending supply. But just sit calmly with the word, not loads of scriptures. Very often I'll just sit there. And sometimes I will say, be still. I'll speak to myself, be still and know that he is God. It's such a good starting place. Be still and know that he is God. Whatever's going on, he's God. And from there, I can just start to sense the Lord's presence. Rest on him. Cast your care on him. The thing that's really troubling you, you hand it over and receive his peace. And then you start to speak his word over yourself, over the situation, whatever it is that you're dealing with. But we have to learn to quiet our minds. Our minds sometimes give us so much trouble. I wasn't going to do this, but if I can have just a few books and the journal and Sam's Bible as well. Just work with me on this. Sorry, I should have been prepared, but I didn't know whether I'll be doing it or not. Our minds can be like my arm here, so full, so, so, so very full of so, so very many things. And we try and get the word of the Lord, but we can't receive another thing because we're so full already. Our minds are so full, we can't receive another thing. And so we have to put these things down. Hand them over. Hand it all over. Quieten your mind. And come to a place of peace. Think about him. Be still and know that he is God. And start to pray. Pray in the Spirit. Listen to him. Speak his word over yourself. That's how you receive faith. And we need his faith. You have to believe, and it's so important to speak the word out. I can't emphasize this enough. You need to hear yourself speak the word of the Lord, because faith comes by hearing. We read the word, and we can do that quietly. That's no bad thing. It's a good thing. But we very much need to hear. With your human ears, you need to hear the word, because faith comes by hearing. It's not our job to make faith come. It's his job to make faith come. We just have to do our human part, which is sit with the word and speak it. So we hear it. And believe faith will come. If he says faith comes by hearing, then believe faith will come. Our job is to believe faith has come. And not wait for a good feeling. I've heard the word. I've ministered that to myself. I believe I now have faith. Okay? And then you approach things differently. But that faith gives us the ability to endure. It gives us the ability then to get to the other side. Hebrews 12, Jesus. Oh, my gosh. Looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, who is the leader and source of our faith, giving the first incentive for our behalf, and is also the finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. Look, I was expecting another version of that, and that will be my fault. But the simple thing that we need to get from that verse is looking to Jesus, looking away from everything else, looking to Jesus, because he's the source of faith, the author and finisher of it. Jesus endured because he looked beyond the cross. He saw beyond the trouble. And if we look at Jesus, and what I mean by looking at Jesus is look at his promise on the situation. If we will do that, he will give us his ability to endure. We look at him, he gives us endurance. We look back at him, he gives us more endurance. The ability to endure until we cross the finish line and see it in the land of the living. It's not that we're oblivious to problems. We just don't focus on them. Okay? The mind, I had this thought only this week. The mind is like a magnifying glass. Whatever it focuses on will get bigger. Now, we can use this for good, but very often it's used for bad, because very often we focus on a problem and that thing just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and the enemy will whisper in your ear, it's no good, things will never change, you might as well quit. And I want to say this, and if you're taking notes, it'd be a really good thing to write down. If in your own mind you have the thought of quitting, the enemy will tempt you with that. If quitting is an option for you in anything, the enemy will push on that. We've got to get rid of, well, I could always quit. Now, at times, in certain things, it's right to quit. But if you know that you know that something is the will of God, you don't quit. That's just how it is. You might wobble, Weebles wobble. You might have a wobble one day, but I've got good news for you. I love this verse, Proverbs 24, verse 16. For though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again. Come on. The only thing we have to do to overcome the enemy is get up that eighth time. you know, just keep on getting up. I might be down, but I will rise again. A bit like the Micah 7 scripture. I might be down, but I'm not staying down. Though I fall, I will arise. And this is not, I really hope you're not getting a hoo-ha, got to do better this morning. This is not human grit determination. This is the power of the Spirit through the Word. We receive two things when we hear God speak. Number one, we receive faith. But number two, we also receive vision. And both are so important. If I lose vision, I'll quit. Without a vision, the people perish. Now, I'm going to go through three greats of Scripture, the first one being Jesus, who were able to endure because of what they saw, not with these eyes, but with the eyes of the heart. First of all, we've heard Jesus, and we sang it this morning. He endured because he saw beyond the cross. The cross was in the forefront, but he wasn't focused on it. If you actually, if you put your own hand right close in front of your face, it becomes a blur. That problem needs to just become a blur because you're looking beyond it. And he saw you and me, and he saw the billions who would get saved. That's what gave him the ability to endure. Moses saw him who was invisible and endured. Paul, we've heard about him earlier, Paul endured because he had a heavenly vision. Jesus spoke to him about his call to the Gentiles. He said, you're going to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God. And I said, I can't remember where it is, but he said he was brought before the king, King Agrippa, and he actually said to the king, I've not been disobedient to the heavenly vision. And Jesus has a vision for every one of us in this room and anybody listening to this message. There's a call. And our job is to find out what that call is and to follow it. That's what we'll be held accountable for, not how well we did at natural life. Any of us can do that without him. But what did you do with the call I had? He formed it before you were born, you see. Our job is to find out what it is. And we're probably going to speak on that a bit in weeks to come. But having his vision enables us to live well. It's not that we don't get opposition and resistance. You get more of it, frankly, when you start trying to fulfill the will of God. But there's a lift that comes on the inside that enables you to go. Go in God and keep going. When I was first a Christian, the best way to describe it is intermittent. I was intermittent. I'd have a good stint for a few weeks. And then if I'm honest, I'd drop off in my passion and commitment to Jesus. And it had a lot to do with the friends I had at the time. But then I was involved in this horrific car accident, and it brought life and death into very sharp focus. And I was like, I don't know how long I've got. I'm 17. I was 17 at the time. But I thought, I need to find out the plan of God for my life and get on with that. And I need to make choices that are going to help me get on with that. And the Lord spoke to me because at that time, and for a bit afterwards, I was really good at starting things, but not very good at finishing. And he actually spoke to me and he said, you need to develop the habit of continuing. You're good at starting, you're not good at finishing. You need to recognize this about yourself and make it your goal. I'm going to become a finisher. I'm going to become a person who sticks with it. And there's a translation of John 8, verse 31 and 32. It's so good. Jesus said to the Jews who'd believed in him, that's every one of us here, as far as I'm aware, we believe in him. If you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. Not if you start in it and have a good stint for a week or two. Things won't go well like that. You've got to continue. But if you continue, you really are my disciples. And you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, I looked at the word continue. Obviously, we all know what it means, but I'm going to give you a dictionary definition. To continue means to persevere, to be steadfast, or to be constant in any course of action. To be steadfast or constant in any course of action. Basically, it's the opposite of quit. We have two choices. We can continue or we can quit. It's really very simple. And so we'll be his disciples. But the word disciple, it actually comes from the word discipline. And we don't like that word. I'll be honest, I don't like that word in my natural self. We don't even like the thought of it. But if we're not disciplined in any area of life, it will not go well for us. Take anything. Diet, fitness, finances, relationships. If you are not disciplined in those whole areas for a whole year, and we check in this time next year and I say, so how's that going for you? I think you'll be honest, if you are honest, not so well. Not so well. And it's no different in our relationship with the Lord. We can't be strong in God if we're not strong in his word. And so we've got to get his word working in us. Because we're in a downward flow. We're constantly receiving the world's thinking and the world's way of doing things. We're constantly having that exampled to us, all around us. And we need the antidote. We've got to get the word in and say, well, Jesus, what do you say about that? What would you do in my shoes? What decision would you make at this T in the road? Or cross in the road? Jesus' ways, Jesus' thoughts. You've got to get them in. And it's a supernatural book. It's more than natural. It's more than getting information. When we read the word, yes, it informs our minds. But it's a living book. It does something to your heart. It will do something to your will and to your affections. It actually says if we behold him, we become like him. And so we can't be loosey-goosey about it. Do a day, miss a day. Do 2 days, miss another three. Really, at 7 o'clock in the evening, you will find me having my time with the Lord. I've set it in stone, unless something, you know, really out of the blue happens and I absolutely can't. I mean, it's not a law thing, but if I am able at 7, I will have my time with Jesus. It's that important. And the devil will always make you feel too tired or too busy. You know, very often we don't feel like it, but I've set my will to go with him. Yes. Like that salmon swimming upstream, this is where I'm going. My gosh, he gives back far more. I'm always the one in credit when I have time with Jesus. But there's power in consistency. Yes. Yes. There's power in consistency. There's power in consistently continuing to go with Jesus. And it's drip feeding bit by bit. Just plonking yourself down in the presence of Jesus with his word, and letting him work on you. Like the clay on the potter's wheel. Just let him get his hands on you. He'll change you bit by bit. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. I've nearly finished, but it's just an amazing scripture, this. And all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continued to behold in the word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured into his very own image in ever-increasing splendor and from one degree of glory to another. How's that happen? By the Spirit. From one degree of glory to another, or in other words, bit by bit. Bit by bit, you start to see the fruit of the Spirit cropping up in your life. Ah. I didn't lose my patience in that situation. Aha! I didn't lose my joy. I didn't lose my peace. I was kind. I didn't get all judgy and critical. I was able to say no and stick with it. I started to veer off in the right direction, but I was able to course correct. Fruit of the Spirit, self-control. And so the Word and the Spirit transform us, but we've got to give him the opportunity. And I know many of you in this room, and possibly many of you listening to this, are converted to that. But there's something happens. There is a transfusion or a transfer, a transfiguring into his likeness. And a strength comes, an inner strength and an inner stamina that enables you to hold your course and very often enables you to hold your nerve. By the Spirit, we can get a grip on ourselves. He makes us bold and stout-hearted with strength in our souls, right where we need it. Pastor Colin wrote a true series. Some of you may have read some of his books. They're absolutely brilliant. Just little mini books on all sorts of different topics, true faith, true spirit, true church. And we, PJ and I, laugh together and say he should have done one on true grit. Because I tell you what, there's an ability in God that puts such a strength on the inside, you can, like an army tank, go and keep going. People speak about having bulldog faith. Just apparently a bulldog, when it locks onto something, that's it. Its teeth are down, it's clenched, and it is not letting go. Well, I have no experience with a bulldog. I have a Jack Russell Terrier, but frankly, I think he's bulldog in his head. I'm going to show you a picture so you can put a face to the name. That's Ned. He is a giant in his own mind. There is no quit in him, let me tell you. He never tires. He doesn't mind a fight. His favourite opponents are the Hoover and the ironing board. But I didn't really know. I mean, you know, I should have researched it more, but I didn't really understand the breed of a Jack Russell. I am finding out. I mean, honestly, Ben will know, and Tom and Lucy, but and anybody else who has a Jack Russell, there is something inbred in them, a tenacity and a stamina. He will take on any big dog in my neighbourhood. His very favourite is a Doberman called Ruby. He likes Ruby. Ruby doesn't like him. No. She's a rescue dog, you see, and she was actually used for puppy farming. She has no tolerance for puppies, but he's always fully charged and let's play, Ruby. And I'm like, let's not, Ned. But he's small but mighty. But let me say this. The Holy Spirit has an ability to give you a determination and a courage, a boldness that is not natural. It's a God thing. It's a bit like when David faced Goliath. You come against me, I come against you. In the name of the Lord of hosts, the Lord God of Israel, whom you have defied. It's a spirit of faith and it's a spirit of victory. It's not human. It's God in the human. He's our source. He's our strength of our source of strength. He's our source of joy. No matter what's going on, especially in the face of trouble. I'm going to finish with this, Romans 15, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you full with all joy and peace in believing, because that's where you find it, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Joy and peace come from believing him. And strength and stamina, that ability to go and keep on going, endurance, they come from believing him. By him, we reign in life. That was PJ's message last weekend. Through the gift of righteousness and abundant grace, more than enough grace, we reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. By him, we're winners. He's never made a failure. He never has and never will. And by his Spirit, we can rise up and over. I literally, and I've said I'm going to finish, but I really am going to finish with this. It isn't over until you win. Turn to the person next to you and say, it isn't over until you win. And now turn back to them and say, so I'm not going to quit. I want all the winners in the house to stand up, please. Come on. We're going to speak this word out. Psalm 18, 28 and 29. For you, Lord, will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop. And by my God I can leap over a wall, up and over for the glory of God. Praise you, Jesus.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.